Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and I'm glad to be back this week with our listeners. Today we're going to be talking about National Nurse Anesthetist Week. With me we have CRNA Sean Tulp, and we'll be talking about the different services that he offers as our lead CRNA here at Van Deese Medical Center. But before we do, I, as always, have a few announcements to make. This week is free exam week in our rehabilitation services department. 21st Century Rehab is offering free exam week through the 26th. So if you are someone that has pain with daily activities, you experience some tightness or trouble moving, you have the opportunity to schedule a free 30-minute exam with one of their therapists. The specialist will take a look at what's going on, talk to you about why this could be happening, and then help you get on the road to recovery. There is no physician's referral needed. And I do want to just mention, if you're someone that has back pain, neck pain, knee pain, shoulder, elbow, hand or wrist pain, hip pain, ankle pain, foot pain, if you suffer from vertigo or have jaw pain, headaches or chronic pain, this is a terrific opportunity for you to take advantage. I would encourage you to give 21st Century Rehab a call yet this week. Their number is 515-832-7735 to schedule that free exam yet this week. We also have a very exciting fundraiser that's coming up. Our auxiliary is doing a Sweetheart Box fundraiser. It will be February 1st through the 8th. And we launched this last year, the auxiliary did. And what it is different departments throughout the hospital and several different organizations, businesses, individuals are putting together themed gift boxes that you could give to your sweetheart for Valentine's Day. These themed gift boxes will be on display in our Garden View Cafe here at the hospital between that week, February 1st through the 8th. And then there is a silent auction that will take place, and the bidding actually ends on February 8th at 1 o'clock. And what's kind of fun this year is those boxes will be on display, but we will also have an online component. So we kind of grow our audience that way. So more information will be shared, and you'll definitely want to check out our Facebook page. Again, the Sweetheart Box fundraiser is going on between February 1st through the 8th. Winners will be contacted February 9th, just in time for Valentine's Day. And I do want to mention that 100% of the proceeds from this fundraiser go back to the auxiliary and in turn help to support patient care needs at the hospital. We also have one of our education sessions that was previously scheduled for last week has been rescheduled due to weather. So hopefully we get a few more that want to attend. But it is a free education session on heart function, talking about EKGs, and then offering some CPR instruction. This is being hosted by our cardiac and pulmonary rehab program. And again, it's going to be talking about heart function, why EKGs are performed, and then that CPR instruction that will be hands only for the layperson. Mark your calendars. It's coming up Thursday, February 8th. It will be from 3 to 4 in our cafeteria conference room. There will also be healthy snacks provided and education packets available. If you would like to register, which we do encourage, you can do so by February 7th to Audrey, who is the contact for our cardiac and pulmonary rehab program. Her phone number is 515-832-7830, or you can send her an email at aestlund, E-S-T-L-U-N-D, at vandeestmc.org. And what is nice is this session is actually going to be offered via Facebook Live as well. So if you can't make it in person, you can certainly tune in with us at that time on our Facebook page, or it will be available after the presentation for you to watch. And then lastly, I do want to mention on the same date is our next Webster City Community Blood Drive. Again, that's Thursday, February 8th. It's from 12:30 to 5:30 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. Appointments are encouraged. You can go to lifeservebloodcenter.org to schedule your appointment. And I do want to mention that our auxiliary does sponsor the community blood drives, and we want to give a shout out to Scooters here in Webster City for being a corporate sponsor for our blood drives, and they provide the awesome cookies and even some additional coupons for coffee for all those who donate. Again, Thursday, February 8th, 12:30 to 5:30 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. And that does it for my announcements this week. So we are going to get right into our program today. This week is a perfect time to be talking with our lead certified registered nurse anesthetist, Sean Tulp, because this is a week where we highlight anesthesia and then some additional services that our CRNAs are providing here at Van Deest Medical Center. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Thank you for being with us, especially during this week. Like we said, it is National CRNA Week, and it is an opportunity for us to celebrate practicing nurse anesthetists. And we're very fortunate to have two CRNAs who work and provide services here. Sean, as I've mentioned, is our chief or lead CRNA. We also have Dr. Richard Jacobson, who supports our pain management services as a visiting specialist. And we'll talk a little bit more about those services during our program today. To start off with, Sean, why don't you go ahead and maybe tell us a little bit about your background and how long you've been practicing as a CRNA.
Well, thank you, Laurie. So my journey to becoming a nurse anesthetist started many years ago. I entered nursing in 1998. As a licensed practical nurse, I received my training in the military. In 2000, I completed my associate degree training in nursing, where I became an RN in 2001. And several years later, I finally completed my bachelor's degree. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I went back to school in 2011 to become a nurse anesthetist. After having worked in the ICU, cardiac ICU for many years, I was a trauma nurse, I was a flight nurse. I kind of dabbled in a lot of different things, trying to figure out what I liked and what I enjoyed. And having met some nurse anesthetists in my travels in the military, I became very interested in that career path. And then applied to numerous schools in 2011 and was accepted to Midwestern University, which is in Phoenix, Arizona. Completed the 2.5-year program, which was a very intense academic program. Had to basically quit work and become a full-time student. All nurse anesthesia training is graduate work. And now, as the future goes forward, most of it's becoming doctoral prepared work. And when I went to school, it was master's degree prepared training. We're now entering the doctoral degree training, which is kind of the trend for a lot of advanced practice nurses as the future moves on there for it. So again, it was a lot of classroom, a lot of clinical time, a lot of learning in a very compact time frame there for it. A lot of long nights, a lot of long days, a lot of long nights. When you're in the middle of it, it feels eternal, but you suddenly turn around. And for me, it's now been over 10 years and since I've graduated and been working. So it's really amazing the journey that's come along the way. Since then, I've worked. My first job was at an Indian health reservation, or working Indian health at a reservation in northern Arizona. Then I moved to a small community hospital in rural Texas. And then, of course, I moved out here to Iowa to work at a critical access hospital here. I've been here since 2018, and I'll be here into the foreseeable future. I've really enjoyed working with the staff at Van Deest Medical Center, and particularly our surgical staff. It's been a wonderful career.
Well, we certainly appreciate having you here. And I can say too, Sean, in the time that you've been here, I see it, we all see it. You are a continual learner and have really introduced some additional services that we're able to offer to this day here at Van Deest Medical Center, which really speaks to your innovation as a practitioner and just falls right in line with the innovation that I feel like our hospital really exudes. Some of these services, it's pretty rare to see them offered in a rural community hospital like ours, but we're really leading on many fronts.
We've had the opportunity to take the lead on several opportunities that presented themselves. And just because we're a small town hospital doesn't mean we have to think like a small town hospital. We can still provide big city services in a small package. And that's how I've always felt since I've been here at the hospital. The first opportunity that came our way was in 2018. Mm-hmm. We had a pain clinic which was being provided by an outside service. And their provider had to go back to Des Moines. So we had a turnover period where we weren't sure if the pain clinic was going to continue. But after working with our anesthesia group, Heartland Anesthesia, we approached the hospital and said we were willing to take over the service line so that we wouldn't lose it. And in that time frame, we brought in a fellowship-trained nurse anesthetist to continue to see pain patients. And then I went back and completed a postgraduate fellowship in pain management through the University of South Florida, which was a year-long postgraduate training where, again, I learned about the science of chronic pain management as well as doing hands-on clinical training with the other nurse anesthetist to learn, the art and science of pain management. I completed that program in 2019. I worked with several other nurse anesthetists who've been here, and Dr. Rich Jacobson joined us in 2021 to come in and provide services as well. He also completed a fellowship training in pain management as well. And since that time, the two of us, we work every Friday. Dr. Jacobson's here every other Friday, but we're always here on Fridays providing pain services. We've seen the service grow from where we used to only do 2 days a month to where now I do 4 days a month and Dr. Jacobson does two per month. And in the future, we'll see if that continues to grow. We have been treating numerous types of chronic pain conditions. We were talking about some of it earlier with our physical therapy staff, which a lot of what you mentioned is a lot of stuff that we work with as mm-hmm. well. As well as working, we have a fantastic physical therapy department, and we rely on them heavily with a lot of our chronic pain patients. We work hand in hand with them in a lot of different circumstances there for it. So I'm really glad that they had a chance to have a mention today. We treat chronic neck pain, chronic back pain, both middle and lower back. We treat chronic joint pain, chronic nerve pain. We provide medication management. We provide referrals to outside services when needed. We also do interventional pain procedures for multiple different pain conditions. Some of the procedures people have heard, epidural steroid injections. We do multiple different types of joint injections, steroid injections of the joint. The old saying was the cortisone and shots, which cortisone is an older drug, but the concept is still the same. We're still doing steroid injections. We also offer what's called radiofrequency ablation, which is for specific arthritis conditions of both the joints and the spine, where we can actually go in and apply specialized heat therapy to basically remove damaged or persistently painful nerve endings and provide long-lasting pain results there. All of that is available in our pain clinic. We have quite a multitude of services we offer, and if we come up against a situation where a condition we can't manage, we will make the necessary referrals to get patients to where they need to go. We've created quite a network throughout the state with multiple different pain providers at numerous different facilities. We've sought out where the additional specialties are, and we make referrals as needed for it. So we've worked hard at growing the clinic, but also growing our capabilities at clinic. And if we can't get what you need, we will find you who has what you need.
And this is such a critical service. I mean, it is hard for many people to even imagine being in chronic pain.
Correct.
But there are people that live in day in and day out with pain all the time. And that's why it's so important to get this message out, that people know that there is help. There are resources available.
Absolutely. And chronic pain is very prevalent. It starts typically in the 30s. You'll start to notice aches and pains. And as we age, just through aging processes, our joints kind of start to slow down. We start to get arthritis, the knees, the shoulders, the hips, the back, the neck. Sometimes all of the above, sometimes one of the above, but it kind of starts kind of gradually, and then at some point it becomes debilitating. It can get to the point where it's difficult to get out of bed and do activities around your house. It's hard to go to work and complete your job. Sometimes it's hard to sit in a car and drive for more than 30 minutes at a time. All these different pain conditions can have a dramatic impact on quality of life. And quality of life is what we focus on, particularly with our pain clinic. We look at people as a whole, not just a sum of their parts. We look at what pain do you have and how is that affecting your ability to live your life the way you wish to live it. And then we set goals that are specific to each patient. Everybody's treated individually. There's no cookie cutter approach to how we treat each patient. And we'll work to find an attainable goal and all the interventions that we need to get there. And you're right, you don't have to suffer in pain. If you have the pain and it's at the point where it's distracting you and you can't get by on a regular basis, please talk to your primary care providers about getting in to see us at the pain clinic. We'd like to help you live a less painful existence.
Perfect. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I was just going to take the conversation there. If there is somebody that is listening now and has pain, where do we want to direct them? And you say to talk to their primary care provider.
Correct. Usually your primary care provider is usually well trained in the management of chronic pain as well. There's a lot of interventions they can begin with which might be effective before the patients even reach us. The primary care providers are going to provide referrals to physical therapy. We'll obtain x-rays or MRIs. We'll try medication regimens such as medicines we call NSAIDs. Think of it as like ibuprofen or Proxyn. We have prescription versions of those which are a little bit stronger. They'll try a variety of different methods which a lot of times are very effective. When those interventions don't work, the primary care provider then has the option to refer patients onto us for more specialized care and evaluation at the pain clinic. You don't have to be seeing a primary care provider at Van Deese Medical Center to be referred to us. We'll take referrals from any health system and any health provider who's in our community because, again, we're taking care of our community, not just one specific health system. We'll take anybody who wants to come to our pain clinic who's looking to find that help.
Absolutely. And so that referral is necessary for the pain management services.
It is. We request a referral because it also gives us an option to look at records, treatments, and it gets to sets. And a lot of times with certain insurance companies, that also sets us up to start requesting further diagnostic studies or interventional procedures there. So the referral is important. And if you have questions about the referral, please reach out to our specialty clinic. Our secretary there, her name is Shyla. If people have questions about the pathway to get into CS, she will gladly guide them through that, get them the right numbers there for it, and also help them make the connections they need to make. So I'm sure we'll probably provide the number for our specialty clinic at the end of this program there for it. But she really is an amazing part of our team who really handles a lot of phone calls in a day, answers a lot of questions. And if she can't answer questions, she'll quickly get a provider on the line to handle the question.
And you're right, Shyla does a great job and has wonderful experience working with numerous patients and providers and getting the information that is needed so that that journey for that patient is a successful one.
Absolutely.
Yes. Great information, Sean. We've talked a little bit about the fact that you are a CRNA and mm-hmm. obviously providing our anesthesia services.
Correct.
Here,
yep.
Which is such a critical piece at a critical access hospital like ours, providing these services in a rural community. The fact that you and Dr. Rich Jacobson provide the pain management services. In addition to both of those, I do have to say, Sean really was the catalyst and pioneer to introducing our ketamine services here at Van Deese Medical Center. So talk about the ketamine clinic, and we actually have an anniversary of that this month as well.
That is correct, yep.
And just the success that we have seen with this treatment for specific medical conditions.
All right, so ketamine therapy, I guess when you look at the terms of medicine, it kind of crosses multiple professional disciplines there for it. Ketamine has been a medicine we've used for a long time in anesthesia. The medicine came about in the 1960s, and it has been a safe anesthetic drug, a very effective anesthetic drug we've used in multiple settings. I've used it in numerous surgeries when I was in Afghanistan, when I was back in the military, doing basically battlefield surgery. I used ketamine quite frequently. It was a very safe drug to use in an anesthetic situation, even in the most dire circumstances. But what's interesting about that drug beyond its anesthesia capabilities, it was discovered in the late 1990s and early 2000s, it had some pretty profound antidepressant effects. Through numerous studies over the course of about 10 to 15 years, multiple studies had demonstrated that patients who had tried and failed multiple other antidepressant medications could sometimes have a very profound response to ketamine, where they would see a significant reduction in their symptoms of depression, to the point where in some rare cases, patients would go into remission from their symptoms. But the majority of patients would be able to find a significant reduction where they were able to resume a lot of activities in their life that they had stopped doing, interacting with friends and family, getting out of the house. I've had some patients go back to work, jobs they haven't had for a long time, because the depression had lifted enough that they were able to live again. The quality of life returned, the ability to sense joy and happiness return. And it's been an amazing journey because, again, when I first came here in 2018, that was not a service we offered. Mm-hmm. It started as an interest I had in ketamine, primarily through my military years, knowing that it had been there, it had been used in different circles for treatment of PTSD and for depression. So I kind of had a professional interest in it, and I started educating myself, started going to conferences, started reading quite a bit of research on it. And then one day I had the idea, why not do it? Why shouldn't we try it? Worked with our administrative team here, and we came up with a plan. We created a very solid working group. And from beginning to end, I'd say over a course of about 3 months, we really developed a solid plan, a solid program for our community. And you're right, in January of 2019, we opened our doors for the ketamine clinic, not certain what was to come our way, because again, we were starting a new service line where there wasn't really a lot of other comparisons, particularly in the state of Iowa. At that time, there were very few ketamine clinics there. I worked with Mindy Gingery, who runs Iowa Ketamine Clinic, who helped us develop the program, was a wealth of information for it. And using that information and what I was able to learn at different conferences, we built our program and have moved forward. And since that time, our first year, we probably saw fewer than 100 patients. And in this last year, we were almost 1,000. So in the course of 4 years, we've had a tremendous increase in patient volume. We've also had a transition where when our clinic started, the therapy was primarily IV-based. It was IV mm-hmm. ketamine, which was a great therapy, but not covered by insurance. So that really limited access to a lot of patients in rural Iowa where the cost of it sometimes was outside of their reach. But in 2019, almost serendipitously, was the release of a medicine called Spravato, which was an intranasal version of ketamine that was tested specifically for treating depression. So it has an FDA indication and approval for management of treatment-resistant depression, which then allowed it to be covered by all the insurers in the state of Iowa, to include Medicare and Medicaid. That has been a huge win for the patients in our community with depression who didn't have a huge disposable income to try IV ketamine services. Now with their insurance, they were able to access this medication in the way that wasn't possible actually ever in a period before that medicine came out. We were the first hospital in the state of Iowa to start using this medication. And I still think we're the busiest critical access hospital and hospital in the state of Iowa that uses this medication for patients with treatment-resistant depression. We work closely with the patient's mental health care provider. I'd like to remind everybody again, I do anesthesia management and chronic pain management. I am not a mental health care provider. But I do this as a service to mental health care providers who are searching for a safe place to send their patients for ketamine treatment. That's what we've created. We've created a safe place staffed by experts in the medication, staffed by good solid nursing staff who can take care of the patients, keep them safe, and keep the therapy going for their providers to evaluate the response to it. We've built a lot of relationships with not only our own internal mental health care providers, but providers out in Fort Dodge. We've built it down in Ames, Mason City. We've built out to Waterloo, to Iowa Falls, to Des Moines. We've built quite the network with providers where they send a request to us to treat a patient. We evaluate the patient and then make sure everything's safe and warranted. We begin the treatments, and then we report back to their providers on a regular basis. So everybody's on the same page, and we make sure that our patients are well cared for. This medicine has been nothing short of miraculous in several cases. I'm a bit of a medical cynic in a lot of ways, because I like to say I want to see it work before I really believe it. And ketamine has worked so well, it's hard for me sometimes to wrap my mind around how well this medicine works. About 70 to 75% of our patients that try this medicine will have significant and meaningful reductions in symptoms of their depression, which is astounding when you think about it. That's the difference between maybe being trapped inside someone's house, unable to face the world because there's no energy motivation, to the complete opposite, where people are engaged with friends and family, doing activities, resuming work, basically regaining their life. It has been probably one of the greatest pleasures and honors in my life to offer this service, because I've watched people come back from the brink, and you just like, I can't believe this. This is so amazing. And again, the hospital has been very supportive of this program, which is why we've been able to grow as much as we did. And there's still plans to grow even in the future as the hospital begins planning for its own expansion. The ketamine clinic will be right there as we continue to grow our services, because we're not planning on slowing down anytime soon. With as much benefit as this has brought to so many people, why stop? Why would
Absolutely.
We quit?
Absolutely. Yes. And like you said, in the 5 years that we've been offering this service, we have seen tremendous growth, and we are looking at, I mean, we're really outgrowing the environment in which we provide these services. And I will say it is a very structured environment.
Absolutely. It's all set up with safety in mind from beginning to end. The whole goal of the ketamine clinic is to provide the medication in a safe, controlled environment. We follow very strict protocols, ones that are set out by the FDA, as well as protocols we've developed internally based on best practices there for it. The patients are with us for 2-hour visits as the requirement from the FDA. The medication is given in a very structured way. We record the medications. We record vital signs on a regular basis for our patients, as well as setting follow-up appointments and making sure our patients are safe to leave at the end of a treatment. All of our patients have to have a ride home for obvious safety reasons and for requirements. And again, we want to make sure that they continue to see their mental health care provider on a regular basis. We're not a substitute for their mental health care. I like to say we're coming on the team. If you want to use the NFL adage, we're a special team that's been added onto the field to help out with the care for the patients there. That's really how I see ourselves. We're part of the team. And it's worked really well. This whole combined effect there for between the provider, the ketamine clinic, I think we provide a lot of services for a patient. And again, you don't have to travel to a big city to receive this result. I get questions a lot from patients. Why Webster City? Why out here? And my answer is always, why not?
Why not is right.
Why not? Why does our location have anything to do with the services we're choosing to offer patients? I've never felt constrained because we're not a big city hospital. That's never entered into our thinking of how we've planned or make plans for the future. I look at what does the big city offer that we can do here as well. If we can figure out how to do it there, why can't we do it? And that way keep our patients from having to travel prolonged distances to get a service we can offer right in their own backyard. And that's the plan, is to continue growing it as much as we can.
Yes. And I would say our location is ideal.
Absolutely.
I mean, not only for some of these specialty services, but for many that we're able to offer. I think of other specialty services that we have, even our visiting pediatric dentists that come.
Yes.
Because of our location and where we're located in the state, it works so well, and it is so much more convenient for patients and family members to reduce that travel time for these services.
And what I've also noticed too, some of our patients, sometimes when new opportunities are closer to them, they keep coming back, because I can tell you right now, our ketamine clinic staff provides AAA+ care to our patients. And that's also what keeps our patients coming back. As they come here, they're respected, they feel safe, they feel protected, and they know that we really care about what they have to say, and we really care about what's going on. And we're closely watching them. If a situation is deteriorating, we're taking care of it that day, that visit. We don't let anybody slip through the cracks. I answer emails, I answer phone calls. There's never a day I'm not doing probably 32 things simultaneously, but it's because it's our commitment and care to our patients that when somebody has a concern, we don't back burner it. We're not going to put it off to next week. We take care of things as they come up. So I think that's been part of the success of the clinic is, and I really got to give a shout out to our staff and our same-day surgery department who basically runs the ketamine clinic. They have provided outstanding care that you'd expect to find in a bigger facility. You're going to find it right here. You'll never find a more caring group of nurses than what we have right here.
And I would second that. Top-notch team that we have in our surgery department and throughout the entire organization. So I am very glad that you did give a shout out to that team.
They make it work.
Sometimes
yes, they I say
do.
They run the show, I just sign the papers for them. So.
Well, Sean, you are a wealth of information and provide just terrific services here at Van Deese Medical Center. I do want to make sure that we mention, if you're someone that has questions, whether it's about some of the general services that we offer through the surgery department, whether it's for our pain management services or the ketamine clinic, I will direct you to call 515 515- 832-7746, and we can get you in touch with the right people, what is needed to schedule those appointments. Again, Sean, I want to thank you for the service that you provide here at our hospital, also for your military service.
Thank you.
Thank you. No,
thank you for the recognition. Thank you for also giving me a chance to really brag about our team that we have here in our same-day surgery department. I always like to find a good opportunity to say good things about them there for it. So again, I've been here since 2018, and it's been the team is why I've continued to stay on board.
And it is such an honor and privilege to have you as a guest. We are recording this show, and it just so happens, like I said, this is National CRNA Week. You're going to be doing some work at the statewide level.
That's correct. I'm also a sitting board member with the Iowa Association of Nurse Anesthetists right now. And this week, we're going to be meeting down at the Capitol tomorrow with our legislators. Something we call Hill Day is the term we use for it, where our board directors, as well as other CRNAs in our community, will meet with our legislators where we discuss issues and concerns related to the practice of nurse anesthesia in the state of Iowa. Our other CRNA here, Dr. Rich Jacobson, is actually the president of the Iowa Association of Nurse Anesthetists. It's been a very important role. He's highly active within the state, as well as sometimes on the national level. So he's always discussing anesthesia issues and making sure, again, to promote the practice of nurse anesthesia in its best environment, and again, always advocating for patient safety. So I think that should be recognized, because Rich is a wealth of knowledge as well. He's been a nurse anesthetist for many years. He has quite the background. He'd be a good guy to talk to more often as well. He's very modest, so you have to pull it out of him. But no, I appreciate the work he does. And again, he'll be tomorrow with us at Hill Day. We meet with them every year. And again, we always like to discuss concerns or issues. And again, our focus has always been and always will be patient safety and stellar patient outcomes. That's what every nurse anesthetist is devoted to. It's what we study for, and that's what we continually seek to promote in every interaction. So we engage with our legislators, both parties, everybody. We see everybody as being important to this whole battle for patient safety, which is always, there's always something we can do better, and there's always something that we find that maybe we should fix or work on. And our legislators have been very receptive to a lot of the recommendations we've made throughout the years. So it's just good to know that we have the support in the state of Iowa, not just from our members in our community, but also from the state legislature. So I look forward to those meetings tomorrow. It's a long day at the Hill, but it's always very productive, and we always get a chance to talk about critical access hospitals, community health care, and health care in the state of Iowa in general.
And I applaud you for your efforts. It's such an important role, especially speaking on behalf of critical access hospitals here in the state of Iowa, because as we all know, that rural health care is so critical to really meeting the needs of our population throughout the state. So, Sean Talp, again, thank you so much for all that you do here at Van Deese Medical Center. Thank you for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you once again for having me. I appreciate it.
Very good. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.